Okay, komme.
Mittags bei Henning.
Der Podcast mit Anja und Josie.
Herzlich willkommen mittags bei Henning. Hallo Josie.
Hallo Anja.
Hi, schön dich mal wieder zu sehen und zu hören. Aber ich glaube, dir geht's heute nicht so gut, oder? Was liegt dir auf dem Herzen?
Gar nichts, aber irgendwie liegt mir gerade was auf dem Bauch. Ich sitze jetzt gerade hier mit so einer Wärmflasche. Also irgendwas, weiß auch nicht. War nach dem Laufen heute nicht ganz so gut. Ja, aber ich bin froh, dass unsere Internet-Connection hier gerade steht, weil du bist ja nicht in Deutschland. Und das macht mich schon glücklich.
Das macht dich glücklich, dass ich nicht in Deutschland bin? Nein, aber ja, die Umstände haben uns heute wieder irgendwie zu ein bisschen eine spontane Änderung geführt. Und zwar hatten wir eigentlich schon alles geplant für letzten Donnerstag, hatten unseren Gast alles gebrieft und bereitgestellt und hatten eine spontane Absage bekommen. Aus merkwürdigen Gründen, professionellen Gründen im Frauenfußball.
Ja, aus Vereinsgründen, das kann man schon mal so sagen. Also die Spielerin hätte das liebend gern gemacht.
Das stimmt, aber der Verein hat nicht mitgespielt. Aber so ist es. Aber wir haben eine schnelle, gute Lösung gefunden. Und auf jeden Fall bin ich gerade in Schweden. Ich mache ja eine Trainerweiterbildung und die Spielerin, die wir heute als Gast haben, macht quasi die Weiterbildung mit mir gemeinsam, quasi die Trainerscheine. Und soll ich es jetzt einfach mal dazu holen oder und wir wechseln ins Englische, weil leider wird die Folge heute in Englisch sein.
Leider? Für wen leider?
Leider. Ich weiß immer nicht, ob leider, also nicht für unseren Gast, sondern leider vielleicht für unsere Hörerinnen. Weil
ja, doch, die stehen das alle durch, glaube ich.
Ja, das ist auch wahrscheinlich so ein gutes Englisch-Training, um sein Englisch zu verbessern und auch wohl für uns wahrscheinlich dazu zu lernen. Oder mehr für mich, weil ich muss ja an meiner Aussprache arbeiten.
Laut Hater.
Der wieder an Bord ist.
Der wieder an Bord ist. Liebe Grüße. Nein, ich glaube, das, was sie zu erzählen hat, ist einfach viel zu interessant, dass man das einfach so, dass wir das umgehen. Und deswegen machen wir es in Englisch und das macht auch Sinn. Also stell doch mal bitte unseren Gast vor.
Genau. So now I switch to English, my favorite language. Let's say hi to Ella Massa. So for people who don't know her, just say hi, Ella. Sorry.
That was so hard to stay quiet, that little stint.
I saw you.
But what happened, folks, is that they wanted to interview my partner, Babette Peter, and then they just, I'm taking the piss a bit. But then, you know, it's like I show up and I'm like the second dessert, you know?
Yeah, of course. She's our second pick. Yeah.
You're the cherry on top of the... I don't know if you can.
I've accepted it. Cherry on top of the what?
Of the cake. No?
Isn't yeah, it? Exactly. Exactly.
No, let me do a quick.
You had to Google all this, or?
No.
We're supposed to be best friends, and she had to Google, I'm sure. I can see my name on your Wikipedia.
But it's a good preparation. I think.
You know each other since when?
Since when?
2017. But wait, wait a second. Okay. So you were born in USA?
Where?
Chicago?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Okay, stop it. Okay, hey. Okay. Okay, whatever.
It's
but
close
you
knife. Chicago's close.
Okay. Whatever. It's just USA. So you played for Chicago, you played for Paris, but where we actually met, it was in Rosengård, Sweden, in Malmö. Mm. That's where we got to know each other. And after that, you left. We played together like 1.5 years. But then you left to and played for Wolfsburg, won some trophies. And then you stopped playing. And now you have a kid.
Yes.
A little baby.
A little baby. 4 weeks old.
4 weeks.
Yeah, with your guys' his old German teammate there, Babette.
So cute. Mm-hmm. Congrats, by the way.
I think, Anya, we've been here, what, one day now in Sweden? And you guys can always cut this out because... I tend to put my foot in my mouth, but I think you've seen my boobs like 10 times.
We won't cut this out for sure.
I mean, there's so many things, you know, every time we have a break, I have to rush back and pump and, you know, how life has changed so much. Thank God, Anya and I shared a locker in Rosengård or next to each other so I can just whip it out, my boobs, and pump away.
Yeah. Yeah, but which is actually crazy that you, like... gave birth to a for weeks ago, you know, and now you're here without your kid. Okay, we have to explain. We are on a coach license in Sweden.
Yeah, so how long is the coaching? Like, is it 1 week? How long are you there now?
Yeah.
It's 4 days.
Four days.
Sunday night we came, but it starts Monday to Thursday.
Exactly. So, and then we have it like another, yeah, four times. We're going to see each other four times again. And it's a good course because it's for...
elite players.
Exactly.
You have to play 7 years professionally to be a part of this course.
Yeah. So we are men and women, like, who played.
How many women are there?
Five. And Josie, out of how many? 17. 18. 18. Five women, and four of them already have kids. Guess who's the one who don't have kids?
Let me guess. I think it should be...
And you're so funny today.
No, I know.
Today we had to introduce ourselves in Swedish, and Anya is fluent because she played here for 6 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Anya, I think your guys' podcast is so amazing because you see, for me, I mean, Josh, we met each other in Spain and then you came over to my house and that was nice. We got to know each other a little bit.
Oh, by the way, yes, you live in Spain. You live in Madrid.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm glad I've had some freedom. Since September.
September. So not such a long time. But and we met in Madrid because I was painting there and I just said like, hey, I want to come over to have to eat something, blah, blah, blah. So I came with a bottle of wine, which was so not a good...
You're one of the first people I told that I was pregnant.
I know. You know? And I came with, I'm so sorry, I came with the wine. But it was
It's so lovely. Undeutsch of you to come over and to go out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I'm not German sometimes, I feel.
And then you had to drink the... bottle wine for yourself.
Or which was okay as well, but, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know, actually. There's one story who is, like, really bonding us together. Or, like, how do you say?
You're going to tell this online? This is like...
Yeah, Josie, I guess you don't know this story. Which is actually really embarrassing, I think.
It's your fault. To this day, it's still your fault.
Okay, so when we played together in Malmö, we found out that we both have lice.
Lice.
Oh, fuck. Lice. Oh, tell the story. You're better. Yeah, now you look, you know what it is. This is loise.
I know what it is, but I'm just like, sorry, but that was
Ella,
a look
please,
like.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
So we're in Rosengard. I'm 32 and Anya is 32. And so we're one of the oldest people in this locker room. And we don't have kids or anything at this time. So I'm actually at Anya's house, her apartment. And I go in the bathroom to go to the bathroom. And I go like this. I'm like... And my hair is so itchy. And the thing was, 3 or 4 days earlier, Anya's looking in my locker, which is private, but she was looking. And I had this new, like, dandruff shampoo. And she's like, oh, your head's itchy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it's the fall weather in Sweden or what, but I'm so itchy. And she goes, yeah, me too. And I'm like, you should try this shampoo. It's so good. So that was 4 or 3 days earlier at her place. And I go like this, and I find a bug. And I have really thick hair, like... so much hair. Go on the couch. At this time, my ex-wife was with me. And we're on the couch. And I'm like, okay, Aaron, we need to go. So we're walking through this park. And I'm like, Aaron, my head is so itchy. And she goes, okay, stop. And she looks at my head. And she goes, Ella, you have lice.
Oh my
God. Never in my life I have had lice. Never.
Really? We had this one. You know when you're in school? No, not school. Like kindergarten. And there's one girl or boy. And then everyone has to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to wash everything. You have to, you know. I remember that we collected all our little, you know, when you play with like soft. What's the name?
Kuscheltiere.
I don't know. So we collected them and then...
Stuffed animals.
Yeah, stuffed animals. And then we had to wash them all. Put them all in the washing machine. But
But you were 6. We are 32.
You can get used to that because that's going to happen to you right now as
well. No. We passed that.
Yeah, but it was really embarrassing for us because we had to tell the whole team the next day. So we had a WhatsApp group. So we were like, first Ella got to write a message into the group and was like, girls, just that you know, I got lice and just... Yeah.
And Anya too.
Be careful tomorrow. And me like 10 minutes later, girls, just to let you know, I have it too. And then they were like, oh, what did you do? You know? And yeah, and when we came into the locker room next morning, when we had practice, we were like, it was like bullying us in a way.
Yeah, we were alone.
Yeah. They were like, they were not even come close to us. Even on the field, they not even want to hug us.
I wouldn't. Sorry.
Because they were so afraid to get these animals. I don't understand.
But it's so itchy. Yeah. It's so itchy. I don't know how long we had it. And it's weird that Aaron never got it. And your partner at the time also didn't get it. So
yeah, that is
it's just
weird.
Like,
yeah, that is weird.
But it was a shampoo. I
that's
got
right.
That.
That's a dandruff shampoo.
But this is a story really we never told anyone, actually, or except our team.
It's quite embarrassing, actually.
Yeah, it is. So we still don't know till today who got it and who brought it into our life.
But
it was
honestly,
you.
No, it's definitely you. I think if that would be the case and it would be me, I think I would just say, I have a flu or I have whatever, but I think I wouldn't say it. I got some animals on my head.
Lots of animals.
This was really disgusting. Yeah, but we survived. Mm-hmm. And now we're just happy to have Ella as a guest on our podcast.
Yes,
and,
very happy. I think the cherry on top.
The cherry on top. And I think you have a lot to tell. And you've been in the game for many years and you played abroad also many years. And you probably met a nice German partner right now.
You can probably tell a lot about Germans, I guess.
Exactly.
I can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's good things or bad things, but I'm taking into account this is a German podcast, so I will be positive. The hierarchy is very true in Germany, and we can go on throughout the experiences. And I asked Anya, like, can I be honest? Because, like, again, I usually say how I feel. And we're going to talk about a little bit, like, I want to talk about the Dortmund team that's coming in and the Schalke team so people understand it's not what people think it is.
Yep.
And maybe we talk about our Wolfsburg time, but I'll tone it down a little bit. But overall, I have to say Germans they're good people. You guys are very honest. Like, for example, when I cut my bangs, I see Anya, and the first thing she goes, why did you do that? So, it's like I was a little bit nervous to see her, and then she says this after 2 minutes. I said, "Okay, thanks, Anne."
Yeah, but if you compare it, like a German would say, "Why did you do that?" And then a French person would probably say, "Ooh, the light is really weird here in the room."
The Americans would just be like, "Oh, I love it!
Yeah. It's amazing! I love it."
What would the Swedish people say? They would say like...
They wouldn't say anything. They just stare.
That's so lovely. They would never, ever say bad things. That's at least what I feel like.
They would act like it never happened.
No, I think I agree. We're really direct. Yes. At least that's what I heard being abroad as well. So that at sometimes we have to be a little bit more patient. Let's say.
But do you think that's changed for you? I mean, you've played abroad quite a bit. Like, do you think you're a little bit more
different?
Deutsch? Not German.
I thought so. I thought I'm not German at all. And then I went to Paris. I think you played 11 and 12, and I came 13. So
yeah, okay.
I just missed you. But in Paris, I thought, ooh, maybe I am German, because I was waiting for 20 minutes and we were supposed to leave with the bus to the match and no one's here and I'm getting a little bit frustrated and maybe I am German, you know? So
it's a good thing you stopped playing, you didn't come to Spain. I think you would even have a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah, you
because
think?
Because it's such a different culture, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm curious because I never... Well, I played with Spanish players at Arsenal, so like Lozada or, yeah, a couple, but...
Did you play with Marta?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's here in Real, okay.
Yeah, she... didn't she play for Atletico?
Yeah, and then she
And then she switched.
I think this is her first year, yeah.
So I know a little bit about the mentality, but probably based on what your lovely partner says, what would you say about Spanish people? Like, how was your first year, your experience in Spain?
I mean, I think Corona changes everything. I mean, the last from March until now, 3 months quarantine, not being able to go out of the apartment. But the best story I can explain Spanish people is Bob's had a team photo. And you know, you Germans, like, you have to be on time. If you're late, it's not a question. You can't be late.
Yeah, and on time is 5 minutes earlier.
Before, yeah. So she comes 5 minutes before, and she's afraid she's late. She has the feeling that she's late. So she comes in the locker room. Team photo. Like, this is the team photo last year for Tacón. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now Real Madrid. Comes in. No one's in the locker room. Her first thought is, oh, my God, I'm late. They're taking the photo. She waits 30 minutes in the locker room for a team photo, and no one shows up. No one.
Okay.
That's hard. I mean, that's hard for a German. I think that's hard for everyone.
That is hard.
That explains it, you know?
Yeah.
So she's had to adapt.
Yeah. Well, I think there are probably more stories like that. But what was interesting to me is when we had a little party and I came over and you told me you're pregnant, I was very curious because it's not easy to find a doctor when you're like in between German, USA, Spain, you know, like somewhere where your family is. And how did you start the whole process of you wanted a child?
Well, actually, we started in Germany. I'm at the end. And then, of course, Bob's transferred in 10 days to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So it was very quick. But actually, all of our doctors in Spain are German. From our clinic that we use, she was a German doctor. But she also speaks French, Spanish. I mean, it's unbelievable how many languages she speaks.
And how did you find her?
Bob's Googled.
Really? So she just Googled and said, like, baby.
Donor help.
Now she help.
She Googled, and I think German was in there just so it's a little bit, because when you're going to pay so much money, I mean, unfortunately for women when they have kids, this is the reality.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going to pay so much money, you want to know what the heck is going on.
Well, but I think not Spain only is, for women, just in general, if you like for the whole process.
Yeah, babies are no joke. And actually, Spain is one of the best countries in Europe for same-sex couples to have kids.
And you, yeah, I guess Germany is coming right behind that.
You think so?
I should.
No, I think we're very far away.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay. I can say about my time we went to try, actually, maybe not. Maybe Bops will get upset. You know, she's very private and I'm not. It's been also an adaption for her. When we went to Germany to try in Hanover, it's like, this is such a big thing. You know, we're doing insemination, okay? And if people don't know what insemination is, it's like you take a turkey baster and you put it up and you squeeze.
Or you Google it. We cut at this point and just Google it, people.
Yeah, okay.
It's probably better. Yeah, she's really open when she
Bops, I have your side
things.
Here.
I just want to, so everybody understands. So we go in and it's this amazing thing and you're going to create this life, maybe. We went into the German clinic. Nice guy. You go in, you sit at a table. He does. And then instead of saying, like, how are you? How do you feel? Are you excited? He goes, okay, that's it.
Wow.
Maybe took 2 minutes.
That's
when we were in Spain.
With a lot of
love. You come
love.
In. Yeah, you come in Spain. You know, there's music playing. You know, people are, how do you feel? Are you ready? You can stay here as long as you want. It's a lot more of a accepting environment.
Do you think that in general, that in Spain, like being together with a woman is not as, I would just say weird, or like what was your expectation and how did it feel in the end being there?
I mean, this is kind of interesting because, you know, Bops is East German. So as Anya's also an East German person, it's very unique that she's with a woman, or maybe that she's open, like especially in Oschatz, there's not so many people.
So Oschatz is the town where she's
from in East
born.
Germany.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge
pretty
town.
Much is Poland, you know, Poland or Russia. And I thought Spain, to be fair, was a little bit more religious.
Mm-hmm.
So like where we live a little bit outside, like by where Real Madrid trains. I won't hold her hand there, but if we're in the city, like downtown, then it's a lot more open, but you'll still get some looks. But I think like her team, for example, they got us a little jersey.
Aww.
You know, they've been so incredibly supportive. She was able to stay home 4 or 5 days.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, when he was here. And they've been, Real Madrid on that end has been amazing to support her with
credits to Real. But not credits for not giving us the okay for doing the podcast. So we have to talk about that.
Exactly.
No, but I get it, because they just changed, or not just, but they changed the name. So now they're under Real Madrid, and they probably haven't figured out the whole media thing. So, I mean, I get it. It's just, as a player, I think it can be frustrated, or you can be frustrated if you're not allowed to tell what you think, you know? And
I don't understand. I mean, I listen to two podcasts in German, or three. Okay, it's your guys's, and then it's the Kroos brothers. Toni Kroos, Kroos, how do you say it in German?
Kroos, Toni Kroos, and Felix Kroos.
And, you know, I don't understand what he can do. If he can do his own podcast, and he speaks about Real Madrid, he speaks about the games, Champions League, it's very interesting, but this is good for my German, that's why I listen to them. But if they can do it, then, you know, I don't understand the difference.
Yep.
And I think that's the problem with Real. I understand, like you said, it's a new team and there's a lot. But like every country, the Swedish girls, the Portuguese, the French, you know, they can't do little things like if the kicker asks or a different podcast is asked in from Frankfurt.
Yeah. And,
they don't really give them an answer.
It's always between like your loyalty to your, you know, where you work, and then your freedom as a person. What's your opinion? What do you want to say? Who are you? You know? So it's always somewhere in between these two regions, I would say.
Exactly.
And if you don't, I mean, I feel like it's a lot about communication, but like you said, if your salary is really, really, really high, I think all of a sudden it doesn't matter, and that is a bad sign.
No, but it also comes with professionalism, you know? I mean, we want that women's soccer is getting more professional, and this is maybe also a B side of it, or a side effect, because every question you get, you have to ask, hey, is it okay if I do that interview? Is it okay if I do this, even if it's a small thing? But which can be good in the end also, you know, because,
players protected.
Yeah. But I have a question, Ella. Hmm. I mean, you've been in the game for many years, and now you decided to stop playing for getting a kid, or, you know, but did you have any thought of, start playing again after? Or is it for you, no, I've done that and were you?
I mean, when we played today, we had a lot of fun. I wasn't supposed to play. Bops is like, Anya, you cannot let Ella play
four weeks
after her C-section.
Yeah, we had a coaching, you know, we had to use each other for some different exercises. So
Anya tried,
I couldn't stop her.
For the record, Anya tried her best.
Was she the goalie or was she a midfield player?
Yeah, she was running. She was like a defender in the possession games.
But
you know?
the last ball, it was literally the last play of the game. I tried to go a long ball direct and I shanked it probably 20, 30 yards to the right. And Anya just starts laughing and looks at me. So that sums up my...
Yeah, it was really helpful. Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's possible with the baby, and Bops's career is still really important. I have a team that I maybe play coach. So I think third league, but you train three times a day or three times a week. But I mean, if Ibra is doing it, then...
Ibra.
Himovic.
Yes.
He's 39, Swedish men's player.
Yeah, but he didn't get a kid.
No, it's true. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think
that was
so at this point, but...
The worst example ever.
Sydney Leroux, Alex Morgan. I mean, Alex Morgan.
Yes,
I mean,
better.
Talk about her at Tottenham. Yeah. You know, she just had a kid in April. Now she's playing. Or I don't know if she thinks she's played yet, but...
True. I'm really excited to see how Almut turns out. Almut Schult.
Almut Schult. Good, Josie.
Thanks. I'm getting
she
better.
She is someone that will tell you exactly how you are. I came in sometimes in Wolfsburg with an outfit, and she'd look at me and she's like, what's that? And this is coming from Almut, who wears Adidas sandals and your 2012 tracksuit from the Olympics or whatever.
Ella.
Yeah, we love you, Almut. No, but I honestly, I think it's because she has twins and she's back in the game. So she's back training. And now it will come to, I think, in the next couple months, she can decide, okay, do I really want to, or can I do that? Is that possible or not? Or do my feelings for the whole project maybe change when I look in some, you know, cute eyes, and I actually like the feeling of being a mama, and I think it's something you can't do. So I think both ways are possible. And twins, yeah. I mean.
But if anyone can do it, it is Almut.
It is Almut.
You know,
I agree.
Anyone in the world can do it, I would say Almut can do it. I could never with twins, but Almut can do it.
Yeah. I agree. Have you ever thought about getting a baby earlier? Like, I don't know, like beginning 20s, mid-20s, let's say 25, 26, something like that. I can't name a lot who got pregnant and then went back to play.
But I think that's a really hard decision. I mean, like, guess you're like 27, and but you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever, for, I don't know, 5 years and decide to get kids. But maybe next year is Olympia, you know, and you're like, nah, I'm going to do it Olympics. And then we'll have 1 year break, and then maybe I get pregnant. But then it's so hard to plan, you know, so I think it's really hard because you put your career first. So I think you, for us, in our sport in general, you know, it's really hard to make a decision, and you not even know if you come back, even if you want this so much, or you see it differently. Josie, because you look at me like...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a baby, first of all. So I can only speak from my point of view. And I think if the conditions are there, like if the club is really, really helpful and you kind of build something around that, because I don't think that clubs are... That's one of the... like. At all on their list, okay, we have to prepare that for the girls because we want them to be happy and build their own family, but come back. Or, you know, like, I haven't seen a club who started this project from the beginning and they say, hey, if you... So it's always like a little Präzedenzfall, you know, like a little one case and then another one case over there in the US and then another case. So I would love to see a club and they... start this from the beginning. They say, hey, we have these conditions for you. We would take care, probably, I don't know, maybe you have a, how do you call it, like a nanny, you know? Like,
yeah, but Josie, if you would sign a player for 2 years and you really need this player and you know, okay, but you can get a kid, just sign a 2 year contract and then you can get pregnant. I mean,
no, you know, if you think long term, which I prefer, I mean, I love to travel, I love to play for different clubs, but if you, for some players who love to be loyal to the club and stay there for a long time. And I think that's lovely when you have your family in the same city. So if you think long term and you want to have your heart of the club, your heart of the team, they're happy for a long time and, you know, successful, being at their best, then yes, I think you can and should agree to a project like that. Maybe that's too high. Wild dreams. Sorry. Yeah.
I think that there's three things here being on this for women, and I'll keep it short. One, when you're with a man, I think the reason, like Sydney Leroux, it's a surprise. You know, it's not so planned. It just happens. When you're with a woman, you know exactly the day everything happens to the minute.
Well, you can't come to the club and say, oops, sorry.
Sydney Leroux is a national team player, US, and she has a husband who also plays in Orlando. Second thing for women is that you have to be a big time player. For example, Almut, she still has 3 years on her contract. If Pernilla Harder gets pregnant, then I think that they'll allow her to come back and they'll keep her contract. Now, women's game is also changing that they want 3 year contracts. They don't want 2 years. So that also opens up a different avenue. And third, actually in Spain, they're not professional, the women's side, yet, which is crazy. But they have put in their player contract starting this year that if you get pregnant, so Bops's contract is up in May, yeah? Yep. But if she gets pregnant this year, okay, not saying this is happening, folks, but if she gets pregnant, they have to automatically sign her for one more year.
Okay.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So almost 2 years. So when if she gets pregnant, she's due in September, then she has that year with the baby, and then they have to pay her another year. So she almost gets 2 years more.
And I really think some clubs have this. But for me, that's something like, okay, we do that because we don't want to look shitty. And it's not really... Yeah, I mean, Anya, I mean, you look at me like, yeah, Joes, that's too hard. sorry, but and yes, it's nice, and I think it's a good start, but it's not like investigating in, you know, that's women's football. It's not, you're not a man. You like, you have, if you want to get pregnant, you have to do it, you know, until, yeah. So, and if you want to say, okay, no, they can play their career till 33, whatever, and then they can get pregnant. Well, then you decide for the player. And I don't like that.
I mean, after Wolfsburg, I was 33. And when you leave a, whether you play or you don't play, I didn't play so much at the end. You know, you still get massive contracts. I got the best contract, better than my Wolfsburg contract. I got two offers at the end. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at myself at 33 and I'm with Bops and I've sacrificed so much at this point for football, my personal life, as most of the soccer world seems to know. Yeah. But, you know, I sacrificed so much. I had a decision to make. And then I thought, okay, well, Bops is younger. She has a bigger name. She wants to keep playing. She's mentally so much stronger, which I give her credit for, what she's like made in her mind or what she's been successful for. But I thought, okay, I can't choose. I can't do my career, or I have to choose. I can't do my career and be pregnant.
Yeah.
I have to make a choice. And I chose at 33, even though I was, my lactic acid was better. I was the second fastest in my first 5 yards at Wolfsburg, which is a huge feat. And every year my lactic acid, like my test got better.
You so were...
Like, I was going up at 33. Yeah.
And I think from 27, 28 on, you say you're at your highest point, right? Because of your...
Your golden years,
your golden years, and then you have to make a decision. I mean, not everyone. Yeah. I get that, and you can, you know, plan a little, and you can always talk to the club. But I just say there are not so many rules who allow you to integrate that in your career.
I think in women's game, you have to make a choice, unless you are a top player like a Sydney Leroux, Alex Morgan. I mean, Alex Morgan got pregnant exactly after the Olympics, and then you think she's crazy, or World Cup, and you think she's crazy to come back before the Olympics, but now with Corona, she looks, I mean...
But you know what? That's what I feel, because I have a lot of friends who got pregnant during Corona, and somehow.
Yeah,
and
not so much time.
And I really think it's perfect timing, because, yeah, I mean, the world is upside down, and you have a lot of... not a lot of time, but everything is like slowed down a little bit, and good timing, good for you all.
you're you know, when we were in Madrid, you can't go outside. I mean, thank God I was pregnant, because, you know, you're saying, oh, every week my stomach's getting a little bit bigger, so you're not wasting time, if that makes sense.
Do you think there's any difference when you get pregnant, but you were an athlete before? Did you realize anything? I mean, you can compare, but, you know, like being fitter, or I don't know, like having not so much pain, or I don't know.
I was in the gym every day training to like try to keep somewhat of my weight down, because it's weird. You know, you're taught your whole life. We were talking about this today at dinner. You're taught your whole life to have this body image, but also how important food is in women's football. But I think there's a very thin line between eating disorder in women's football and being very healthy. And, you know, you're so much about your body image, and you don't even mean to be, but you've been looking at your body in a way for 10 years that it has to look this way, or you're getting body tested. I mean, it's a real mental shift. And then I'm eating the same thing, but I can see I'm just getting big, and I need it because it gives the nutrients to my baby. But it was so hard for me to wrap my head around of, it's okay to be big, it's okay to have these kilos.
So you just, you had a talk with yourself in your head, or like what helped you to, you know, understand bit of like, okay, I'm not getting fat forever.
Yeah. I mean, it was also, I mean, Bops helped me a lot with that. And our doctor was like, you need to put on a little bit more kilos, because at this point you're not putting on enough. And it's like, you have to do this for your baby. So then you just think differently about it. But I mean, after in 1 week, I told Anya in 10 days, I lost 12 kilos after the birth.
That's crazy.
So it's like your body is... It adapts quickly, you know, and when I run today, okay, I'm not where I used to be. This is the first time I ran. Sorry, Bobs. But, you know, like, I don't feel... we get in so much trouble. You know, I feel good. I don't feel like I had a baby, you know?
Yeah, but it's crazy, because we talk about also addiction, because we're also addicted to
to do some sport. You know, I don't know, Josie or Ella, how many days you can live without doing anything, you know, because you used, like you said, you're used to your body, you're used to how it looks. Okay, now you gave birth. I mean, that's a really a wonder, a wonderful thing to the world. But for me, example, I can't even do it like for 10 days. I get crazy. And even when you're on vacation, I mean, you probably all know how it is. And you before you go to vacation, you think like, oh, 2 weeks, I don't do shit.
Right.
You know, and then it's like 3 days and you're like, oh, shit, no, I ate so much. Maybe I should go to the gym and just run a little bit. Yeah. Do you see yourself, Josie?
In there? Or? Well, I think it's always in the, like, the healthy part is somewhere in the middle, right? Where you think, no, you shouldn't think so much about your body and you should love yourself how you are. Yeah, shit. You have to feel, you know, no, honestly, because you have to feel good. And if, and yes, you shouldn't go crazy. Like you shouldn't hyper focus on that. But if it gives you a good feeling, and especially as an athlete, I mean, yes, you know, you have to do it because you feel healthy, you feel good, it gives you confidence, whatever. But you shouldn't really, hyper-focus and be like, oh my God, Noah, I had one potato too much, blah, blah, blah. So it's all somewhere in between, but it's so hard to, and that's where I think it's good to have a mirror, like to have good people around you and they reflect you and they say, you know what, I think you should have a beer tonight because you're really, you know, talking shit and you're stiff and whatever, so relax. And then other times they say, hey, come on, we go for a run. By the way, I was so angry today because my phone is broken and I really need my phone for the next shut up.
She drops it a lot, or
she is toll patch. She is one of a kind when it comes to a mobile phone.
Okay. I know. So for the next match paintings, I really need my phone right now. So now it's broken. I was so angry. And I always thought as a player, you get more out of a player if you're nice and you talk to them and you explain them and blah, 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 blah. It's at least what I told myself. And then I was so angry. And I came home after 14 kilometers and I was like, oh, Jesus, you know, helps. It helps when you're angry. Mm. And no, actually, you were not that kind of player. If someone yelled at me, I was 100% better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, didn't you throw up today? So was this before you ran or?
This was after. And I'm really, I don't know. It was, I think I have a...
The German mentality, you know?
Yeah, but you know, I'm not the crazy one. In Potsdam, I don't know if Babette told you some stories, but in Potsdam...
Oh, I've heard so many. We were talking about Potsdam also.
Yeah, keep on going,
some funny
Josie.
Stories about
keep on
Anya.
Going. Yeah, come on.
No, you know, Yuki Naga... Well, she was Nagasato, now...
No, she is Nagasato again, I guess.
Yeah? Oh, whoa, okay. Yeah. So...
she played in Florida State, right?
Chicago. Or?
Chicago, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
And she used to run before the match. So it was Sunday, 10 o'clock, and I was going to get breakfast to the bakery, and she was running. And not like a 20 minutes, I want to wake up run. It was like a 45 minutes interval run, and then she played 90 minutes. So I was not
tired.
The crazy one.
Yeah. she-
Talking about addiction, I just have a random question.
Oh, this is interesting.
No. I mean, is there anything you're addicted to besides like taking care of your bodies or and run a lot? And
being vain. Do you know what vain means?
No.
Vain is like when you don't want to admit it, but you really care about how you look. But you don't want to say you care. You're vain. You're diva.
No, but wait, is this you're addicted to?
No, but I think we all are. I think.
Yeah,
like you
but
said.
I mean, more like another thing in life.
Some kind, yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm addicted to going crazy. Like I can't have I can't have a daily, you know, Alltag, like a daily life for 2 weeks. I get crazy if I don't have like that one. It's like when you used to a week, like a player's week. You train and then schedule. You have the match, right? So if I don't have the like. That kind of match where I can go all out, you don't want to chill with me, because that's like honestly that's not And you know me, Anya, I have to be like, I get bees in my popo. So I have to travel and I can't stay too long at one place. And I don't know if that counts on an addiction, but I feel like it's not, sometimes it's not so healthy and I could be a lot more balanced. I try.
It makes me feel good that you say that because, you know, I've had eight countries, lived in eight different countries. So when you're in a place for a year's time, and now especially in Madrid, 2 years max, and you're thinking, okay, where's, you hate moving, you hate doing all the stuff, you've bought so many sofas and bed in your life, but you know, you get the itch. After 2 years, you got to get the itch of, okay, where's my next destination? Where am I moving? What's next?
Yeah, and sometimes, Ella, honestly, sometimes, like even now, I mean, I live in Cologne now, and I really want to be here, and I want that this will be my base, and from here I travel. But even now I wonder, like, oh, should I really put up some pictures? I don't know how long I'm going to be here, blah, 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 you know, like this.
I feel the same. It's crazy because I moved into Leipzig like, I don't know, 1 year ago and I signed a 2 years contract. And I start feeling like, okay, I don't paint any walls because I don't know how long I'm going to stay in this apartment. I don't do any lamp. I don't put in any lamps. Mm-hmm. I don't put any walls, holes in the wall because I don't want to do, you know, clean it afterwards because you're used to moving
and
so much.
You don't know how long you're going to be there because it's such a quick lifestyle or fast lifestyle. So, But at some point, it's nice to feel a little, you know, then when you come home, that it's home.
Exactly.
So you have to find something in between. What was your longest stay, Ella? Where were you the longest?
2 years, I think. That was in Sweden. I mean, in the NWSL, I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, you spoke to Lindsay. It's, okay, she's a national team player, so it's different. Horan, the national team player that they was on their podcast. This is for Anya, her face.
In which episode, Josie? In which episode, Lindsay, were our guest?
Bam. Credits to
if
me.
If you guys want to go back and listen to it. Great player. Okay.
Thanks, Ella.
You're welcome.
Sorry. I was so happy that I got the episode right. Or at least I think it's right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Six seems like it's quite deep in your list.
Yeah.
Anyways, go listen to Lindsay Horan. I forgot what I was saying now.
What was the longest you stayed? NWSL.
That's right. NWSL, when you're not a national team player, you can get moved. And, you know, it's only a six-month season, and then 6 months you're off, and you can get moved without
your wills. So it's not your choice, right?
No. So I think Sweden was my longest, and then Germany was a year and a half. And now we've been in Spain 1 year and Bob's has a year contract. So, I mean, I hope we stay a little bit longer, but like you said, it can change like that.
But also a question, where was the time you enjoyed it the most? Was it USA? Was it Paris?
Sweden.
Was it? Oh, I
really?
Couldn't even finish my question. No, okay. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Well, one, Paris was hard because I was there a month. I mean, you're playing for PSG and I was 25 and that was probably my best time of my career, like it's just out of the national team, but then my father passed in October, so it kind of like uproots your life, and he passed quickly with a heart attack, so I didn't get to say goodbye, and you're away. But then I never thought I could go back to playing Champions League football because you get 26, 27, a little bit older, but then I remember, you know, it was Aaron's dream to play in Europe in Champions League, and then it worked out. And when you played at Rosengard, I think it was one of the best teams I've ever played with. I mean, Anya came later, but you had Marta, Lika Martins, Emma Bylund, Amanda Illestet, Ali Riley, Anita Sante. I mean, team was...
So you had a good team.
Yeah, this was some of the best players, so my job was very easy as a forward. And then Anya came, and she was, you know, she is, or was, I guess she retired now.
I retired, yes.
One of the best finishers to ever play in the women's game. So it's just, you get to play with so many players that you've admired and respected over the years.
Yeah. And you, would you agree if I say, because we moved so many times, would you agree when I say you feel home when you have the kind, like, good people there and you're, you know, people you love? Like, let's say with Babs now. So you're in a country where you probably, you're not there for the past 5 years, you know? But you have your little family there now. And does it feel like home, or is it, you know, could it feel everywhere like home with these two? What would you say?
I mean, Babs is definitely home and definitely with our son now.
And the little one not.
Just Babs. But I think it's more, I mean, Madrid's an interesting place because it's the first time I've moved countries without a team. Mm-hmm. So that's what I miss the most is the locker room, you know. In Sweden, I felt so close because you have this dynamic and you just, you maybe take for granted that time in the locker room. And then Germany, I mean, Wolfsburg is a beast, a hard, hard beast that you both understand and all German players understand.
Totally.
It either kills you or breaks you or you thrive. There's no in between.
Amen.
Amen.
Should be a bumper. It should be a bumper. A bumper sticker. There's no in between. And, you know, that was probably some of the hardest parts because there's so many lessons that you learn at Wolfsburg that aren't normal lessons. I mean, in the professional world, you need to learn them, but they are very hard. But I had, you know, Zada, Pernilla, Bops. I had my people there. So it was okay. And now Madrid, you know, Bops is not so... How do you say this? Outgoing. Mm-hmm. You know, Bops is very Bops. She comes home and she does her thing. But she makes it worth it. But I don't think I feel at home yet. I know it's just a smaller amount of time.
Yeah. And you can still, you know, love your life and not feel settled at all. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, I understand. But I think you're both very, very lovely people. And I think you'll figure it out.
I appreciate that.
That's so cute of you, Josie. I mean, all good things have to come to an end. I mean, hope not everything. But
you don't give me compliments like Josie does. You should say something nice here. I literally just told you, you're like one of the best players ever for the game. And you just, you should say like, yeah, you too, or... You know, I had fun with playing with you too. Right?
Yeah, okay. Do you want me to go back there?
No, it's fine. It's too late now.
No. You can. I mean, you two have each other for the next 4 days. Exactly. You can stare at Ella's boobs. You can take care of her. You can, you know, make sure she doesn't run a lot. So
no, but yeah. I mean, it was. Really...
It's too late now.
Okay. Just okay. Okay. Then. Okay. Then. Okay. I don't say anything. I keep it for later. But yeah, we want to have your songs, your personal favorite, personal favorite songs. We can put on our Spotify list. So she made me listen to it before, Josie. So just that you know, I already know them.
Yeah. And you're like really emotional.
I tried to go upbeat. The first one is because with our son, you have to sing to him sometimes to get him down. Bops has a German song.
I think I saw it's
a folk song.
Yeah.
The stomp stomp one, where she actually stomps.
Yeah.
But I can't, what's it? Lauryn Hill, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Ooh, that is from a movie. Wait, that's 10 days. Well, that's from a movie. I like that song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, and if you listen to the lyrics, you have to listen to the lyrics, folks. It's
yeah, you know, it's all about the lyrics. Songs,
it's all about the boy, the son.
That's so important.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. And then my second one is by Kat Dahlia, I Think I'm in Love.
Okay, so a little bit upbeat. You're really like a techno going out person. That's your
music, I tried to do upbeat. I'm not at all, but I tried to look good for the podcast.
Yeah, we're really slow songs.
No,
I mean, I'm more like Boys to Men and, you know, Temptations, but this makes me look cool, so I'll go with it.
I was curious because I know you're actually a musician, so I was very curious to...
You play the piano, I saw.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a professional desk right now, so I have this... So I'm recording on my piano today.
That's perfect.
Which is okay.
Anya, if you would say that you're musical, what's your best musical? Like singing or...
No, if I could pick one, I want to be the one who write the songs and sing it, actually. To get all my emotions on paper, put it into songs. That would be my dream.
You guys, I know she's smiling now. I think she's dead serious.
She's dead serious. I'm going to look over tonight. She's going to be writing.
I am. Okay. Yeah. But I think, I'm happy, or we are happy.
Just say Josie's happy.
I'm happy.
It's for you, Josie.
To, had you as a guest in our show. But yeah, thanks for joining us and like really spontaneous. And you saved our episode actually because we got a little bit stressed.
Yeah, we'll still work on Babs so she can have the cake, you know.
Yeah, but you're the cherry, Ella. You know it.
I appreciate
you're the cherry,
that.
And I really appreciate that you said I'm going to do that. And Anya said you didn't have to think long, so really, really appreciate it. And we love to have you here, and I think you're a very, very honest person, and I appreciate that as well, because in the podcast world, I think that's the basic topic, to just be honest and talk about things maybe not everyone will know. So thanks a lot for being honest. And Anya, I'm looking forward to hear what you experience in Sweden from your coaching.
Yes.
Point of view, and we hear us in 2 weeks when we have our episode together. And Ella, for you, all the best and greets. Do you say greets? You don't say greetings.
Greetings.
Really?
Greetings.
But that sounds so formal. Okay, greetings to Babette, Peter, and the little one. And hope to hear you soon.
Thanks for the time, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, then let's say goodbye, girls.
Wait, I want to do this.
Cheers.